Each week we bring you the network analyst assigned to the Browns game. Tomorrow night for NFL Network is going to be Mike Mayock paired with Brad Nessler calling the Browns-Steelers game. And Mike Mayock joins us now. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Vic. Great to be here, man.
Well, Mike, as we look at this Browns team, first of all, after a game like it had last Sunday against Baltimore, and I know they've just tried to cast that one aside and quickly focus on the Steelers, but to me, you know, it's a matter of just changing the uniforms, the name, and the location, and it seems like they're basically going to face the same team or the same type of team twice in a matter of days here.
You're probably right. I mean, it's kind of interesting because I watched the tape, and, you know, whenever a team gashes you for, you know, 55 runs in the NFL to start with is amazing for almost 300 yards, you got to believe the score was astronomical, yet they somehow hung in there, and I think Baltimore also had a punt return for a touchdown.
Right.
So the defense effectively gave up 17 points, which doesn't really equate to 290 rushing yards. So they somehow hung in there, and they did the week before against a good Cincinnati team. I mean, what was that, 23-20?
Yeah.
So, you know, they've played two physical run teams the last 2 weeks. Cedric Benson had over 100 yards. Ray Rice, of course, gashed them. And then you come to Pittsburgh, and you're right. Here's what I think about Pittsburgh's offense, and they're kind of interesting on tape because their offensive line, to me, is kind of average. Mm-hmm. Outside of you know, the center is special, Pouncey, but they're a big, strong offensive line, and they get in three tight end formations, and they pound on you and pound on you, but they can also throw the football out of that three tight end formation. And then on third down and in the red zone, they want to spread you out. And all of a sudden, three and four wide receivers are showing up, and they can still run or pass. So they're one of the teams in the league where they can run or pass out of a variety of formations. And the key to the whole thing, obviously, is Ben Roethlisberger, who, to me, is just playing at a really high level and kind of getting lost in the whole Aaron Rodgers thing.
Mike, as we look at Roethlisberger's game, is it possible for – it is possible because he's done it, but was it – comprehensible for you as you watched him through his whole career up to this point to actually make your career that of a quarterback who is mostly about drifting his way out of pocket, extending plays? How as you've observed this, and he's done it enough times now, and he's done it in the championship stage and everything else for it to just be accepted as what he does, but it really is not something almost any other quarterback in this league and any young guy that you're going to train to do it that way. Isn't he just uniquely built and uniquely put together, I mean, psychologically and mentally and physically to handle that?
Yeah, and I think you said it pretty good. I think in the history of the NFL, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find a quarterback that has been better at extending a play and making plays than Ben Roethlisberger, and I think it's a function of a couple things. Like I said, I think his offensive line is average. I think they're an above-average run offensive line, but they struggle a little bit in pass protection. And here's a guy that is a little bit of a riverboat gambler. He wants to make plays. It can cut against him at times. But with all the tape I've ever watched, he's as good as anybody I've ever seen at sliding, moving, extending a play, and you know, let's not forget he's got a couple Super Bowl pelts,
yeah.
You know, also. And the last thing I would tell you about this guy is that there are certain times, you know, he's made his living extending plays, but he made a throw last week where Cincinnati came free on the edge. They brought an extra safety or corner off the edge, and they got immediate pressure up the middle. So he's standing back there knowing he's going to get smacked in the face by two people, and they ran a skinny post, and he put it on, I think it was 17. I think he put it on him at 21 yards, and
okay.
It's as good a throw as you could make in a pair of gym shorts in the summer, let alone two guys about to smack you in the face without a chance to even set your feet. So he can beat you in the timing, rhythmic game, but he really enjoys getting out there extending the play.
All right, so how do you defend that? You're the Cleveland Browns now, and you've got a couple of young people up front. Their best really their best player on defense has been Jabal Sheard consistently, the rookie from Pitt. And then you've got obviously Ataba Rubin, you got Phil Taylor. They've had issues at the other end position with injury and lineup change, but it's for sake of this game, it's Jamie Mitchell, it looks like. And then you have that secondary with Joe Hayden, but a top-ranked pass defense. How do you handle what Ben does?
Well, I think whenever you start with Baltimore or Pittsburgh or even Cincinnati, the teams in your division, I think you have to start with we're going to stop the run. And as good as Ben Roethlisberger is, are they just going to bleed you all day long? Now, the caveat that comes with that is that you can't give up big plays in the pass game, because as soon as you commit eight guys and overcommit and they play action, which they're going to do, and they're going to look for Michael Wallace on an off-play action, you know, four or five times every game. That's just a piece of what they do. If you're going to get beat deep, you're done. So from my perspective, I would rather try to, A, stop the run. You've got to figure out ways to get that eighth guy in the box based on formation. And then, B, your corners. And, you know, let's face it, Joe Hayden has bitten on Joe Hayden's eye. As much as I like Joe Hayden, occasionally he'll bite on a double move. His eyes aren't always in the right place. You know, Joe Hayden has to have a clean game. Sheldon Brown is the opposite. Sheldon Brown's towards the end of his career. He's smart, tough kid. He got beaten a double move last week, I think it was, by one of the tight ends. The bottom line is you can't give up those big plays, because that's how Pittsburgh wants to beat you. Grind, 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 and then play action and go over the top. And I think that's the key, is just let them grind, force them to go 12, 14, 16 plays without making a mistake, but don't let them over the top.
Mike Mayock from NFL Network. He'll be the analyst for tomorrow night's game, with Brad Nessler doing the play-by-play. Joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. So, Mike, we've spent a good chunk of this discussion, and we haven't even brought up yet the number one defense in the National Football League, and that is the real chore that obviously faces Colt McCoy and this offense. Colt McCoy sacked three times by the Ravens, who, by the way, had the third-ranked defense, but it looks to me like this is even, if it's possible to say, scarier when you think of James Harrison getting those three sacks. And I know they came when the Steelers had the big lead on the way to that 35-7 win at Cincinnati, but still, it's Harrison, Lamar Woodley, assuming he's healthy from that hamstring that's bothered him, just that whole front seven. I don't know, as I think about it and look at it, how you block that. I just don't. So give Browns fans maybe a little optimism there.
You know, it's one of those things where it's a cliche, but you better bring your lunch pail.
Yeah.
And bring a buffet. Because you're in for a long, physical, tough, grinding night, and that's what your division is all about. Let's face it, I think it's the most physical division in football. And I was in the Steelers facility for about 8 or 9 hours yesterday watching tape. And you know, whether or not Woodley's a key part of what they do, but they've been working in this young kid, Jason Warltz, second year player out of Virginia Tech. And if you kind of close your eyes and substitute number 56 for number 93, that's what Worlds has an ability to become. They're both 6'2". Worlds is not quite as stout at the point of attack yet as Lamar Woodley is, but Worlds is a very gifted pass rusher. He's got a real good explosion, get off. And, you know, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, Vic, when I say how well coached they are. And when I watched their run defense over the last couple of weeks, and the way they fit the run, and the way they're always in the correct gaps, and the way they don't miss tackles, it's kind of atypical from a lot of NFL teams these days. So you're exactly right. If Peyton Hillis is healthy and you guys are going to try and run the football, I think the important thing to do is to stay patient, because I think a lot of people get away from the run game early with Pittsburgh. They just assume when you carry the ball 7 times for 6 yards in the first quarter, that you're not going to get anything. And people get away from that. And I think that plays into who they are. So I think you've got to try to stay committed. And, you know, I've watched a bunch of Browns tape over the last couple of weeks here. And the hard thing, I think, when I look at the Browns offense, is that everything is so compressed. You've got a run game on one side, and when you throw the football, I think I charted every throw that the Browns made the last 2 weeks, and that was, I believe, 70 throws. And out of those 70 throws, 55 of them were within 10 yards from the line of scrimmage. You had 8 between 11 and 20 and 7 throws over 21. And I look at that and say, I'm watching the corners and the safeties squat on your wideouts. The field gets real tight. Every throw is an underthrow. And against the Pittsburgh Steelers, that's going to be difficult. They're just too physical. They're too quick. And number 43 is way too good in that area. You've got to find a way to get them off you.
Number 43 being Troy Polamalu, and I was just going to ask you about that in the context of a question about Dick LeBeau. So in studying all the Steeler tape, are there still ways that you see LeBeau and his use in particular of Polamalu that intrigue you and make you say, wow, here's something I hadn't seen before? And I know you've watched the Steeler team a lot, and as many of us have, and we're astounded by the different schematic things he can do. But is there still some new, new twists and nuances that he brings to the table?
Here's the intriguing thing, and I can sit there and run the playback 20 times, and sometimes I'm not sure what 43 is doing or why he's doing it. Okay,
yeah.
And I may be wrong here, and this is just my guess, but I'm not so sure that sometimes Dick LeBeau is going, what the heck are you doing?
Yeah.
Why are you over there?
Yeah.
But it almost always invariably ends up the right place. I mean, I'm telling you, you put their tape on, and he might be hanging on the weak side over a slot, and all of a sudden the ball snapped, and he goes back into the middle of the field, sees something completely on the other side of the field, and just takes off. Oh. And sometimes he's wrong, but most often he's right.
Right.
And I've never seen a guy with his quickness and explosion. When he sees something, he trusts it, and he trusts his instincts, and he goes. And the guy makes more plays doing this. There were a couple snaps last week where he lined up at 17 yards deep, look like cover two, and instead he doesn't backpedal at all. He's just flat-footed reading it, and he just takes off, and he loves to jump crossing routes. He trusts it, and he goes, and Cleveland does a lot of crossing. You know, Cleveland's a West Coast offense,
right?
And an awful lot of crossing routes when they're looking for man, and you just have to be – you better make sure you identify 43 because he jumps everything.
Yeah, and like you said, when you're identifying him, or you're in the process of identifying him, and the his defensive coordinator, you know, puts together a scheme but isn't entirely sure exactly what he might do.
I don't mean that.
Oh, that's a compliment, I'm sure.
Well, it is a compliment, and Dick LeBeau's got, they follow their rules, and it's a great system. I'm just saying, within that system, I think sometimes Troy takes advantage of it and just jumps something and goes. And I think Dick LeBeau does an unbelievable job of putting him in a position to make plays.
He is Mike Mayock. He will be the game analyst for NFL Network's Thursday night football coverage. That's tomorrow night, Browns at Steelers, with Brad Nessler providing play-by-play. Alex Flanagan will be providing the reports from the sidelines. Kickoff, of course, is 8 p.m., but you can watch the coverage Thursday night. It begins at 6 p.m. with the Thursday night kickoff presented by Sears pregame show on NFL Network. Mike, thank you so much, and I look forward to seeing you tomorrow night at Heinz Field.
Always great talking to you, Vic. Thank you.
All right. Much more is coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford and brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game.